on tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the truly lovely Santa Emma Cabernet from Chile. Further, we respond to listener emails and provide truly excellent, useful, and completely inappropriate advice. So sit back and enjoy the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, folks. It's good to be here. I am so happy to be here.
You should be.
I am.
Because tonight we have an interesting wine from an interesting area.
I don't know what you mean. This is James Suckling. I love Chile. Unfortunately, this winery are a bunch of bastards, because they do not send me their wine so I could provide it with 175 of my points. No, they didn't. Sorry, James. This is Santa Emma. Their Reserva Cabernet from 2015. And it's interesting. Their Merlot also was good from this company as well. Interesting wine, $13.99.
When you Google it, that's what you'll get, is that you'll hit the Merlot will get a hit before the Cab.
Yeah, yeah. 100% Cabernet, 100% of the blend in French and American oak for 8 to 10 months. It's an interesting wine and interesting price. We could not drink it. So when we come back, I'm going to give you a little more technical information, and then we're going to get technical as we drink the shit out of this wine here.
Yeah, baby.
On the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed Taxi Driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So the 2015 Santa Emma Cabernet Sauvignon.
Can we make fun of the name?
From Maipo Valley in Chile. Santa Emma?
Yeah.
It's trademarked, isn't it?
I know. Registered.
Yeah. Why would someone else
Registered.
Want to steal that?
Which implies to me it's not real. Well, you care about it so much that you made up this name that you're going to register it in the United States.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
And it's got that stupid stamp on it.
Where? Established Felix something, Pavote, 1956,
Screw yourself. Don't write your name on there. That's self-aggrandizement. I don't like that.
Well, it did have a sticker on it. I took that off. You didn't see
did
it.
You take the sticker off?
Because it got 91 from Wine Spectator. Yes, a $13.99 wine got a 91 from the Wine Spectator.
And top 100.
It did, but don't steal my thunder. So Spectator wrote, dark plum and dried red berry fruit flavors dominate this muscular red with plenty of minty and savory accents. Medium grain tannins support chocolate and cream details on the
Danish.
Drink now through 2021, which suggests it doesn't have a lot of legs, but 25,000 cases made, and as Scott said, 29 in the Wine Spectator Top 100 of 2017. So this has been out for a while.
And it's not often that they get that wrong.
No.
Can you think of anything that's been in their Top 100 that we've tried that we didn't care for? I can't. Usually they nail that.
In 2006. Normally that wine has gone through a couple different levels of review. And, you know.
Well, let's be honest. The value price list is an important list, but their top 100 list, that's an important list.
They don't have Strubs on there.
Usually they've got a bunch of bullshit that nobody can buy. But stuff that you just can't get your hands on.
Well,
okay,
this
ridiculous.
This one's
obviously 25,000 cases. If $13, you can get your hands on this shit.
Yeah, but that's not a lot of cases for $13.
True that.
But that's fine though. That's cool.
I get some bugs me that Santa Emma's registered.
Well, you know, whatever.
I think I'm going to knock it down a point.
Like Triple B would?
Like Triple B would.
Yeah, but
she's right.
But I like this fact that it's 100% Cabernet. It's not mixing in anything else. They did say the color is deep violet ruby red.
It's deep violet ruby red?
It is. It's very dense looking. Very dark.
And it has a ruby red nature to it. It's not crimson. Mm-hmm. It's not purple. It's not purple, man. It's ruby red.
There is no translucence whatsoever at all. No, none.
It kind of sort of has appearance of being a little more viscous and not
yeah.
as dense on the rim as you swirl it. The legs are slow to develop if they develop at all.
13.5%
alcohol. 13.5%
alcohol,
which is not unusual for a South American cab. You're not going to see higher ABVs, usually.
On the nose, well, mint and eucalyptus.
Been a long time since we've seen eucalyptus.
I know.
And
there's a little bit of licorice in the background. It's not cassis, although Triple E would say it smells like cat piss. But it's more licorice.
Be nice.
Yeah, you know.
I think there's a difference between cassis as it demonstrates in fragrances.
And wine, yes. And wine. Creme de cassis. That's what we're talking about. And licorice. That's eucalyptus, mint, and licorice.
Yeah, and mentholated alcohol.
Yeah, oh, yes.
But the other three are very primary components.
Unique, interesting nose.
No, I wouldn't call it a big nose.
No, it's not. But in its uniqueness and the fact that eucalyptus and mint, that's not something that we often see.
No. You know what? You said eucalyptus, and before that, I was searching for what it was.
Eucalyptus is so
unique, but you know what I was thinking of? Aloe. You know the fragrance an aloe plant has?
Yeah, the same eucalyptus. Same ballpark. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I don't think anybody describes wine aromas with aloe.
No, they don't. That's eucalyptus. But it is you can use that. Well, eucalyptus, you can say that. It's acceptable because Martha's Vineyard has eucalyptus trees on it, and Martha's Vineyard Heights taste of eucalyptus. Although they say that there's no correlation between the two, but there is.
What?
Yeah, they have eucalyptus trees on the property, and
there it is.
Go figure. That's the one distinctive thing.
Let's go in.
I've had Martha's Vineyard; it's very good.
Did you mention on this episode that you've been to Heights?
I've been to Heights, but I love
it. You didn't? I stole your thunder there.
But
again.
I'm more of a fan of the trail side. Ugh. And their ink grade port is. Oh, God.
I'm not going to say anything. It's just as soon as it hits your mouth, it has a nice, it's a little bit of a lean mouthfeel, but it's a nice mouthfeel. You know. Right away, this is a South American wine, and it's and I'm not saying that in a negative sense.
Ooh, but it pops, doesn't it? That is a super good wine, super good,
crisp,
very crisp. What's interesting though is the finish is long, and it starts off with a wonderful, wonderful chocolate that just leads into this herbaceous richness that is so gorgeous, and then it does have medium length tannin. It's not overly tannic.
No.
I can see where the 2021 came in.
Look, if you're a fan of cabs that are on the leaner side, I don't care what you normally drink, you're going to love this.
I wouldn't say it's a
this
lean
is a,
cab.
But it's not a big,
it's not a
burly
bull, it's
cab.
Not a bullshit Californian cab.
It's yes.
This is
a nice drinker.
The finish reminds me of a Washington wine.
I would expect more body out of a Washington cab, but yes, the finish is like a Washington cab. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the tobacco? I'm getting something just short of tobacco.
In the mid palate, intermingled
earthy,
there.
Earthy, but I wouldn't quite go tobacco. Maybe as it opens, it will. I don't know.
Yeah, in the mid palate, It's overshadowed by. It has a very ripe, fleshy fruit. What is that? Plum.
Yeah.
And it's also a sweet blueberry. Is that blackberry?
They said black cherry. I don't get cherry whatsoever.
Not cherry at all. No.
Although there's a tartness there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't associate that with a fruit though. But the tobacco though falls right after that in the mid palate.
I'll give it earthy. I'm not quite sure I'm going to give it complete taco, but regardless, that earthiness or tobacco, whichever way you want to go, it's a nice characteristic of this wine. It really is nice, and it's just... Mm. What would you say frames this? Because
it doesn't need framing. The wine itself is very clean.
Yeah, and crisp, and everything's kind of naked. You can pick these components out. I mean, we're debating tobacco versus earthiness, but it's there.
It's there.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the nicer, and I'm going to stick by what I'm calling it as a leaner style cab. This is one of the nicer ones we've had on the show. We've had plenty of the South American cabs that have just been dog shit.
Los Vascos. The ones that James Suckling reviews, yes.
Honestly, it's escaping me one I have enjoyed more than this.
We liked Antu a lot.
We did like Antu. That was... Argentinian?
No, that's Chilean.
It's Chilean also?
Yeah.
That's been a while.
Yeah. I've had it a couple times. I still have another bottle left. But okay. I've had it a few times. This is... Okay, I gave Antu 91. But this is a better wine. As a wine than Antu.
I think there's a couple things about this. I think this would have mass appeal. Now... Granted, if you want a big, fruity California, that's not what this is, folks.
Mm-mm, no.
And although...
For traditional, it's traditional Cabernet. That's what it is. It reminds me more of like a KJ.
It's not Vintners. Quite French style, but it's...
No, it's not as French.
Leaner. It's more of a French mouthfeel per se.
On the front palate, it emulates French a little bit, but then it gets a little jazzy towards the mid palate and through the finish, and that's not French.
You throw some slate and minerality in this. This is French all day long.
Well, you would never pick this out as being Chilean, though.
No, well,
mouthfeel
wise, I did.
Well, James Suckling would. But.
No, mouthfeel wise, I knew immediately it was a South American and not a Cali.
How?
Just by the way it felt on my mouth, just a little leaner, and it just wasn't the burst of fruit.
I'm going to try to divorce myself of knowing
now,
what it
would is. I have been able to say that if I didn't know it was? I don't know. But mindset-wise, I'm like, oh, that's Chilean. That's South American.
Well, you know it is.
And I knew it was. That's fine.
Could you just say what you... You just said before, would I know if I knew that
would
I wouldn't?
Would I know if I knew that I wouldn't? Jesus. If I did, if I would, if that's I could? Insane. That's insane. You got to sleep in late. It's better for your constitution.
If something tasted like green pepper, I would say, okay. It's like a sewer monster. No. Well, Pepperwood Grove, I think, is actually made out of Chile now. But no, it would taste like, I would know what a shitty Chilean Cabernet would taste like. A good Chilean Cabernet, that might be a little more difficult. Seriously, it would be more difficult. I'm going to taste
it. And I was just saying what I said, my initial... was on the mouthfeel. Just immediately, I'm like, that's nice, and that's a South American cab. You know what lingers?
Well,
nice. The finish lingers.
The tobacco is more prominent as it opens up even more. Wow, it would be hard-pressed to... put a locale on it in a blind tasting because you're not going to say California because of the tobacco. California Cabernets, at least the ones we've experienced, and we've experienced a shit ton from everywhere, don't have tobacco. The ones that have had that kind of pronounced tobacco, I can think of Infinito. That's Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wouldn't think it was a Spanish wine, maybe a Spanish Cabernet perhaps, but... It doesn't taste particularly French, as you said, because the fruit is a little bit too bright for that.
And it lacks a sense of minerality.
It's obviously not Australian. We know. Come on, it's not Australian. I've never had an Aussie wine with tobacco in it. You know. But, and so where does that leave you? It does leave you in South America. If I was going to pick between the two, I'd probably say Argentina because I think their wines generally are better. It's not because they are. It's because I think that. Rightly or wrongly. Maybe because the country is bigger. I don't know. There's no. I have no...
Rob, James Suckling here. If you learned my masterclass, you would know that Chilean wines are far superior to Argentinian wines.
That doesn't sound like James Suckling.
For $125... I can teach you this.
Look, Scott. My voice.
You imposter.
First, I don't sound like a bad Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Alfred.
Yes.
I will take you.
For $125 of my masterclass, I would teach you, Robert and Scott, how to properly identify a wine from...
You just called me Robert.
I called I was speaking to Robert. When I am James Suckling, I depart from my body and I'm watching myself speak.
You depart, all right.
I do. I would explain to you for $125 how you can identify a Chilean Cabernet, as if that was ever something that you would need to do in your life. But I could teach you that, as well as how to access the dark web and... No, well, I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Never mind. yes. But so when you start breaking down where it could be from, it does limit it. And it should lead you to South America, right?
I mean, mouthfeel-wise, I might think I don't have a lot of experience with Italian cabs, but...
Okay, you know, I never thought of that.
Typically, you know, you're going to expect a lighter mouthfeel. That's the one thing that jumped out
at me. A little leaner because that's their style. A little more austere.
Stylistically.
I guess Italian, maybe. But you're just trying to figure out where you place the tobacco. That's it.
And
I would be Spanish or Italian, I guess. I think about it. Blind tasting-wise. But although the nose might tell me, because the nose is off waffling just a little bit of green pepper. The nose might lend me down to Chile because it doesn't smell Italian. It doesn't smell Spanish. It smells South American. But I've already said, I like the way it smells.
How dare you smell shame the South Americans?
Can I also say this?
No.
I hope the Triple B does not come back downstairs because I want... that all to myself.
Was not nice.
I might kill you just to drink it all.
Oh, so, ow.
I like this wine a lot.
It's really good.
It's really great. I wish I would have bought more. Now they're out of the 15, for fuck's sake.
Mm-mm.
They're not?
Not on the website I looked at.
Okay. We'll have to look at that.
$13.99 of your dollars.
This is delicious. It's just fantastic. And it's not a wine that you're going to age, but it's a wine you're going to sit down on a Saturday night, open and enjoy. Scott, let's go through here.
Yeah, ships tomorrow, man.
Let's name a few things that we... what vintage are you looking at, though?
15.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we tasting here?
A couple different fruits. I think there's subtly some savory there. Black currant, maybe. But there's a sweet component of fruit. Blackberry.
Yeah.
But also right with it is a savory, like a black currant, maybe plum, right in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like side by side, which is... would you say that's unusual to have sweet fruit with a savory fruit and just so boldly together, but they're distinct?
But the sweet is on the tip of your tongue, and it mellows out into that savory. That's not that crazy. No, yeah, I understand.
But so distinct, and that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the first impression for me was just this mouthfeel that, and normally I would say that's a negative, but just this nice, and maybe leanness is harsh, but mm-hmm. it's just a nice, crisp wine.
And that's very distinct, and it's prominent feature as soon as it hits your palate.
Do you? I think what you're saying is when you say lean or crisp, there's no flabbiness to the wine.
No,
it is self-contained. So some of these wines we find just kind of go all over the place and they taste bloated. This wine does not taste like that.
And it
does. And you can pick out the layers because there isn't unnecessary crap that is just kind of cluttering everything up. It's a well-sorted wine.
Sometimes we want a mouthfeel that's silky or viscous or oily. That's mm-hmm. not what this is, but it's a pleasant mouthfeel nonetheless. I'm trying to find a comparison point to this mouthfeel. What was that cute little Italian blend we had in our first year that we liked so much?
Cold Sasso?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a little bigger than this.
No, Cold Sasso isn't as big as this. You romanticized Cold Sasso.
I did romanticize Cold Sasso. I love that one.
It wasn't that good.
In the end, because we thought it might be ageable and it wasn't, it wasn't that good.
No. But I think we know this wine isn't an age.
Continue on. I don't quite give it tobacco, but the earthy
characteristic. I think it is blatant tobacco mid-palate.
Whatever that is, that earthiness... Tobacco, earthiness, whatever, that's a nice component. And it just shines. Coffee, little bit right there with it. But the finish, it just lingers, man.
Oh, it's delicious.
It just lingers. And what is that finish? I think it's a wonderful balance of residual tannin and the oak treatment, which is subtle. It's not a spicy oak. It's not a charred oak. It's just fundamental oak that's there and present. And it's clean. It's a clean finish, but it lingers. It's nice. It's one of the nicest soft finishes we've had in a long time. It just stays there softly for 20 seconds?
15, 20 seconds, yeah. It's just an exquisite little exercise in what good wine can be. And I think Douglas would like this, don't you? I mean, we know he likes Chilean Pinot Noirs, but Douglas, find Santa Emma if you haven't. And pick that up. Delicious.
You know who'd like this? My cousin Chris.
Oh, he might.
Humesy, you out there?
Yeah.
Pick this up, son.
Yeah. I know.
What would you pair this with?
Ooh, food wise?
They said grilled meats. I don't know about that.
Man, I don't know. I don't know that I'd waste it on food.
That's maybe a downside to this wine that.
Well, us Americans, we lack the imagination. To consider that there are other pairings other than burnt meat. So we have to kind of think beyond that, I guess, is what it amounts to. For this wine, especially with the tobacco herbaceous mid-palate, other things that exist out there that we don't normally eat. What do we eat? We eat meat. We eat steak. That's what we do. So let's divorce ourselves from that and think outside of that. I don't know how, but I mean,
you know what I think this would be wonderful with?
What's that?
It goes against all pairings of wine, but I would pair this with a nice fish. I get it. I get the oddball look, but it's what came to my mind. Just a nice piece of salmon, grilled salmon with some kind of glaze.
What else came to your mind?
That's it. That's what came to my mind. But the idea of steak with this. No. Scott said grilled meats, seasoned dishes, stews, ripe cheeses.
Okay, let me say this, Scott. It depends on how you're actually doing your steak. We're not talking about ribeye, but say we're talking about tenderloin. Okay. And we're talking about a certain preparation where you might have a little more earthy presentation. If we're talking about elk. If we're talking about something that might be...
Elk?
Yes, elk.
I would not pair this with gamey meat.
Why not?
No.
A tobacco mid-palate would be a perfect
okay.
counterpoint to that. That venison, although the venison that I had a little bit of char on it. I don't think I would want the char with this one. Although it has enough fruit in the front, I think, to balance that out. But I think that there are certain refectory meals that would go good with this. A buffalo strip. You know? It just depends on how you present it. If you're presenting it kind of rich and fatty, that's not really this wine's thing.
Yeah.
But if you're presenting it more in a provincial style, Herbe de Provence, with a little bit of lavender there, something with that would work. Don't shake your head.
You're just being awesome.
Pork tenderloin?
That would be more appropriate. You can not do that. As fatty. Nice thing. Yeah. You could, you know, treat with rosemary, parsley, sage, whatever you wanted to treat.
Yeah, you could do that. It's herb-driven.
An herb-driven pork tenderloin.
Yep.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
herb-driven, it right there.
Tonight, I did a massive top sirloin from Aldi.
Okay.
This second son of a bitch was the old 96er from Great Outdoors.
So like a huge, like, 4-pounder?
It was, I don't know.
How thick? How thick was it?
Inch.
Okay.
It was like this big. Well, what I did was...
Did you grill it? What did you do?
I grilled it. I did it on the gas. Okay. I actually prefer the sirloin on there. Although, I mean, it's fine. But, and so what I also did is I melted butter with a little olive oil, garlic, oregano, and black pepper. And so I had my melted butter.
I'd be tempted to do my man Hank squeeze lemon all over that as I
could. I didn't have any lemon. But, and so I was basting it with that butter herb mixture, and then I flip it, and obviously it would explode in fire, and I got a nice blackness to it all. Okay, well, not charred, but grill marks, color all across it. Put it down to rest, and then I do like this on as a side. I do a so you get to your broccoli, your piece of broccoli, not frozen, fresh. Okay, and so you saute them briefly, a little butter and olive oil, salt and pepper. Thyme and a little garlic powder.
Okay.
So you want to get a little color out of them. And then to that, you add chicken broth or chicken stock, whatever you got, just a little bit. And what we're going to do now, we're going to put the lid on there and we're going to cook the broccoli and steam it.
Bring that
with the chicken broth.
Bright green color out of it.
Yeah. Once that's done, you take a bunch of cheddar cheese. Throw it in there, put the cover back on, melt that cheddar cheese, mix it all together. And you want it to be really soft because it almost turns into like a...
Soup.
No, not a soup. It's dense. Think of it as a base, like a cheddar broccoli risotto.
Huh.
And it just all falls apart and it's all together in the base. Not too much broth because the broth's going to cook off. And if you have too much broth, you want to pour that off because you don't want a lot of liquid. You're just going to have this... Pasty, cheesy, broccoli deliciousness. So I did that, but then on the side, I did a little half and half, cooked it down, blue cheese, salt, pepper, oregano. So I had a blue cheese sauce with the sirloin.
Nice. You're on a little roll with the blue cheese.
Well, I like the blue cheese on the ribeyes. So we'll melt blue cheese over the ribeyes just to give it a little kick because we're using Aldi meat, although the Aldi ribeyes are good.
Aldi steaks are
delicious. Well, the top sirloin was Aldi, and it's delicious.
If it looks good, it is good.
Yeah, you have to inspect it. You're looking for marbling, whatnot. But if the marbling's there, the steak is good.
It's going to be good.
Every time. And there's plenty of ones to pick from that you're going to pick one with good marbling. We did filet from Aldi.
Okay.
It wasn't. Had it all. It was good.
Okay.
But one of the best strips I've ever had, ever, was an Aldi strip. It was amazing. It had great marbling, a great strip of fat. It was amazing. It changed my life good.
I had a 3/4-inch grass-fed organic strip.
Mm-hmm.
marked down on clearance at Aldi, and it was phenomenal. I think I paid like $6 for this 3/4 pound thing that was like $11.99 a pound regular price. And just treated it like I would salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Hank technique, punctured the fat with the knife, and squeezed lemon on it. It was freaking fantastic.
We're eating prosciutto tonight, folks. It's from Aldi. $2.69 for that package, Scott.
Yeah, it's nothing.
I mean, and it's good. It's not great, but it's good prosciutto.
I think it's a perfect prosciutto to take salt and pepper and then wrap it in melon.
True. Yes, absolutely. I mean,
it's a little moist for just eating it regular, eating it straight from the package.
We get the Hamel.
Oh, son.
It's drier, but it's $2.69.
Yeah, and you can get some similar deals at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Some of the Aldi stuff I like better than the Trader Joe's. Some of the Trader Joe's I like better. We particularly like that Celebrezze salami.
Oh, yeah.
Calabrese salami. This little spicy pepper.
And we're eating a cheddar tonight, folks. That was $3 at Aldi.
Nice.
Good. Once again.
Unexpected cheddar from Trader Joe's. Whew.
Not great, but really good. And sometimes, folks, life ain't bad with...
Really good.
Really good. So...
Really good for a price. You know, I've been buying ribeyes and strips from Aldi for about 2 years.
But it's better than Kroger. Better than Kroger.
Mainstay on my keto diet.
Yep.
I buy my steaks from there. I buy my steaks from Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
The quality... For the price you pay, you can't beat it. Aldi at first didn't have the packaging
that Trader Joe's
does. Now they do. So you can buy in bulk, throw them in the freezer, and you're not going to suffer freezer burn. But
you don't have to. Because they'll last, 3 weeks in that packaging?
Maybe.
That's what it says on the package. It's amazing.
Maybe, but you know,
their skirt steak is delicious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. We don't have a skirt steak where I can get some. But
I buy lamb there. And it's pretty damn good, man.
I gotta buy some.
I've never seen it since. They had a dozen packages, and I'm like, oh, I'll get it some other time.
Mm-hmm.
A butterfly leg of lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Grilled it. It was spectacular. Went back, and I've never seen it since.
Wow.
As soon as I cooked that butterfly leg of lamb, I went back to get more. It was gone. Huge mistake. Huge, because I've never seen it since. They'll have lamb, but I've never seen the butterfly leg of lamb.
Triple B won't eat lamb.
She would eat this lamb.
She feels that it's wrong. I've done grilled leg of lamb before for Easter. My old house, we had everybody over, and my grandmother that passed away 6 years ago. She came to Easter. And I had like this pool table / air hockey / ping pong.
Air hockey is an undervalued form of entertainment.
It was a 7-foot long table. But if you flipped over the ping pong table, it just turned into a tabletop. And you could see 12 people around that son of a bitch. And so we had everybody sitting around that table. And I had done grilled leg of lamb. They had like a little Aussie, $99 Aussie grill. It lasted like 2 years, 3 years. But I grilled that damn leg of lamb on there. It was delicious. And we drank wine. And my grandmother drank wine. Remember that? And that would have been 2009? Yeah, spring of 2009.
Nice.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, I remember she drank that. And my mother was like, what the hell? Like, yep. Grandma was drinking wine. You didn't know she drank, did you?
Mom was judging a little.
Oh, she was shocked, I think. But my grandmother, Grandma Dern, Esther, she had given me her china cabinet.
Okay.
And that's where all the Riedels sit now.
That's Grandma Dern's china cabinet upstairs. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, always did. And she said, I want you to have that, Rob. And so, yeah, we moved it. I've moved it twice, and it's going to remain up there for the rest
of... That's a good spot for it.
Rest of my life. Yep.
We'll fix that sucker if it ever needs. Oh, yeah. But it's freaking sturdy, right?
Oh, it's a strong. I mean, she never bought anything cheap ever. I mean, it's solid wood. if glass ever gets broken because one of my little bastard children will have to put new glass in it. But
we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can sort that.
And we'll also have to dig a hole for the kid. Kill him. They know, don't you go around that or something bad's going to happen. By the way, new dining room table's coming on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Becky ordered it. Sure, on Amazon. But it's one of those, it's like a transitional one where it's not $5,000 because we have three monkeys. But it's a higher one. So they're all 24-inch chairs. So those chairs will work at the bar, too. But it seats 6 or 8.
Okay.
Got it, so it'll be nice. We'll, as soon as it's put together. Marbles. When do you leave on vacation?
7th.
Cool. We might have to do marbles freely.
We'll have to do marbles. I'll have to get the marble game back.
I know. At the table. It's at Cassie's house. At the table. So, what?
I know.
Worthless bastard. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have some emails from listeners. Scotty, I know you love this.
I do. The first one's from Anne.
Anne in Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle. Sleepless. Is she sleepless?
I wish she wasn't from Seattle, so you couldn't make that joke.
That's not a joke. It's an honest question. Anne, I hope you don't have narcolepsy.
That's true. And I hope you find a man. Unless you already have a man or a woman.
What is that? What the fuck is wrong with you, son?
In Seattle, it was Meg Ryan. I never watched the movie. Her and Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks had a kid. I don't know what it was. I'm just trying to follow along. You want me to start this segment over?
Yeah. No. Just
okay.
Go.
Okay. Anyway, so Anne wrote, why do you always have to compliment?
Anne was in New York. Meg Ryan's character was in New York City.
Oh, he was in Seattle.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, we'll just pretend like it's Tom in Seattle.
I wish I could say what his son's friend said, H&G, hi and goodbye.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, she wrote, it seems like that you guys review a lot of kitschy wines, but you're really harsh towards the Pinot Noirs. Why is that? Well, Anne, let me first start off with saying, do you like Meiomi? No. The reason why we are harsher towards Pinot Noirs.
Towards kitschy Pinot Noirs. It's because they suck.
Well, no, I guess...
They suck.
Well, Scott, there's a less tolerance. Pinot Noir...
Less tolerance?
...is a more distinctive wine in the fact that it has a little more reverence in any wine drinker. It's like...
You should have more reverence.
Well, it's a serious wine for serious
we
people.
We come at it from the French style when it comes to Pinot Noirs. So when there's these kitschy bullshit, we just don't have any respect for it.
No.
And don't get me wrong. I get why Meiomi is popular. I understand what the marketing is there. Good for them. They make a lot of fucking money.
But
and you know what?
Pinot.
Right. But they know what they make. It's consistent. I wouldn't call it a good product from a wine standpoint, but from a marketing standpoint, from an alcoholic beverage, they make a lot of fucking money. They deserve props for that. But I don't respect them as a wine.
Well, we're like, even though we're not penophiles like that paterist. Anyway.
Paterist?
Paterist. Wait. You know what that's how it's pronounced. People say it to you. Anyway.
You're lucky the Triple B's not here. She would be offended by your reference.
Who cares? Anyway.
She loves a Pinot Noir.
She would also be drinking some of the Santa Emma, and we can't have that, can we?
Damn it.
No, we hold it in more reverence because we take Pinot seriously. If you don't like Pinot, if you want a big fruity wine, you don't have to drink Pinot. You can drink a syrupy Syrah if you want to, but don't call it fucking Pinot.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I mean, Pinot tastes a distinctive way. Okay. Leave it like that. There are so many things you could call red wine drink. I don't care. But don't call it Pinot. Yeah. Don't pretend that it's fucking Pinot because it's fucking not. Don't let people believe that they like Pinot when they're not fucking drinking fucking Pinot. It's as simple as that.
It's just, and here's the bottom line with it. If it doesn't have, if you don't know what the Pinot funk is, you're probably not drinking Pinot.
No. And it's just like, I like Pinot Noir. No, you don't. You don't like Pinot Noir.
If you don't know what the Pinot funk is, you don't like Pinot Noir.
No. If you've never drank decoy Pinot Noir and tasted Sherwood Forest and said, ooh, that's icky. If you said that, you don't like Pinot Noir.
So, Anne, I hope we've helped you out here. We're not trying to be irreverent. We just are.
Well, I think she emailed us, so she knows exactly what we do.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, if you don't know what the Pinot funk is, you don't like Pinot.
No, and it's fine. You don't have to, but don't pretend like you do. But it's not that you're pretending. It's people are lying to you, and that pisses me off.
That is what makes us angry, that people are lying to you. It's not your fault you don't know that Meiomi sucks.
Mm-hmm. The next email, though, is Troy, and he's out of Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles.
It's all West Coast. West Side. Anyway, Troy asks, are there any wine, well, he calls them gadgets, but
there's nothing wrong with the term gadgets.
Well, that's fine.
I love Inspector Gadget.
That you would recommend. And I don't know if you mean, and you didn't designate exactly which ones, but if we're talking about wine preservation, because that brings one.
Well, there's a lot of gadgets. Rob recently has played with
a vacuum
preservation
pump.
Device.
Vacuum pump.
We've talked about them on the show, but we've just never done them.
I've made fun of them. But I've never actually used one before, and it's called vacuum pump. I think it's the original one, right? It's like $10. You get the pump. It's like a little handle thing. You pump it up, and it comes with two little rubber corks that basically, you take the cork.
But didn't you use a pump for something else?
For my penis?
Yeah.
No.
That's not what you told me that one night when you got really drunk.
That's because I was just trying to come on to you, you big stud. Anyway, so you put the rubber cork down in the bottle, and then you pump out the air. And when it pumps it out, you hear a little clicking sound from the pump that all the air is out. And so what I've done is, you know, you taste a bottle first night, second night, third night. Honestly, there's no real change between... I've not noticed a lot of bottle degradation from those nights.
And listen, there's no doubt about it. You open a bottle and it sits overnight, there's a difference. So just that makes it worth it. Would you pay?
$10.
Yeah, and... How many bottles do you think you're going to get out of that $10?
How many
bottles? Charge?
Oh, gee. But
there's going to be a replacement cartridge
system. There's no cartridge, Scott. It's just, it sucks the air out. There's no cartridge. This has no argon gas. It's just a cork that goes down there, and you pull out the air with the pump, and it seals it. It's a vacuum seal. That's it.
Huh.
That's it. There's no argon gas or that shit. None of that stuff. Because sometimes the argon gas can give it a bit of a, like an apple-y kind of peel feel.
Mm.
This doesn't do that. It just pulls a ton of air out. Now, it matters. What I do is I pour a bit of wine into it, like a little wine carafe, and then seal it right away. So it's not sitting there for very long on air.
So you're using a technique to make this work, too. You're pouring, then sealing it immediately, which is... limiting the oxygen content, but which makes sense.
That's fine. But even then, I'm not noticing any difference.
But for $10?
For $10.
Even if it doesn't work every time.
Well, Scott, I was thinking about that Euro pump thing that we like, that it's like the Euro art. So you put your bottle in there and you put it up on a little nipple, and basically it's an electric pump that sucks all the air out. It doesn't put anything in, it just sucks out the air. And that charges, they charge $400 for that. And it holds two bottles. And so when you want to drink it, you pull it off there, pull it off the vacuum pump.
And it actually has like an injection system. It like, you, it like sticks a needle through the core.
That's a different one. That's Coravin. And that actually puts CO2 down in there.
Okay.
This doesn't do that. This is just a vacuum pump that just puts a vacuum seal. There's no air in there. It's very basic. But it works.
My $10.
Yes. And I do, what I do is, for red wines, don't put them in the fridge. Put that in there, suck the air out, and then just put them back in your cellar. Okay. But you can leave them for a day or two, not a week.
Well, you need to try it. Have you tried it for a week? How long would it last?
I think it would last 3-4 days max.
But you haven't.
Yeah, but I don't need to.
Done that. Because you're a lush.
Well, I know, but I wanted to.
The question is, have you tried it? And not yet. So, but 1-2 days, it works just fine. But it's $10, the investment.
But that's what I needed. I needed a bottle that I could. I needed a system that I could stretch a bottle over 3 days with no degradation, and it did that.
That's for $10.
Well, I mean, how much are we drinking a thimble with a wine bottle?
Well, Troy, I've got a gadget,
but. In reality, though, if you're drinking port, that's gonna extend it infinitely, because port will last. We did one that was 3 years open.
Yeah.
That will last for 3-4, you know, a week or two, just with the cork back in it. With that vacuum seal, it's gonna last far longer than that.
But Troy, I've got a gadget for you, and wine guy's gonna mock me. I don't give a fuck. I like the electric operated wine opener.
That's stupid.
I like them. So many people struggle with opening a bottle of wine. They really do.
What people?
People struggle.
Do they have thumbs?
With wine service.
It's hard.
Some people don't like the rabbit because it's a mechanical gadget and it's, you got to have a rhythm to it and you got to seal it and you got to hold it. There's a certain amount of strength you need to use the rabbit.
The rabbit is that.
That is the rabbit.
Yeah.
The stand. Rob has a stand that his sister, Cindy, don't call me Cynthia.
Wine enthusiast stand.
The wine enthusiast stand. But the rabbit's similar. There's different varieties of rabbit. But you can get a battery operated. It's a cylinder. It's typically got a push-button depression. But it takes the cork out. You keep the button depressed. The cork spits out of the corkscrew. Easy peasy. I like it. I care for it. I think it's for those who struggle with opening a bottle of wine. Don't be ashamed. Don't let wine guy shame you.
I'm shaming.
He's shaming. He's a bastard, man. He's a bastard, man. I like him.
For shame.
Don't be shamed.
Shamed.
Some people are not mechanically oriented. They can't handle a wine service.
It's too difficult for them.
And you know what else? You know when it's nice? When you're freaking hammered and you want to open another bottle of wine. You know another gadget I think is helpful? A foil cutter.
A foil cutter's not bad. Although I've found
simple
that you don't need to spend money on that.
Some people, again, aren't mechanically oriented. And the idea of ripping the foil off a la Shakespearean Phil. Or using a knife to do the same.
You have strong man hands like me, you could take it off like that.
Or using a knife to cut it, they might cut themselves. So yeah, foil cutters help.
You understand, on the end of a service puller, there is a cutter. And all you do is just cut up the side and then you just peel it back and it's very easy.
It's very easy.
Unless
foil cutter's nice though, because it makes a nice clean cut at the top of the bottle and then you've got the foil still there. It looks pretty.
I know. I've used those the rabbit little wheel things.
I like them.
It's nice.
I like them.
It's unnecessary, though. But
it is unnecessary, but it's nice.
The next question.
What's another gadget? We got one more gadget. What about wine lockets? Glass lockets?
What?
You know, is this my glass of wine or is that your glass of wine?
That dumb shit. No.
Fuck yes. That. Yes.
Hold your fucking glass. No.
Yes.
So the next.
I like them. For a party?
Yeah. It's a really shitty
amulets, party. Wine glass amulets. I like them.
I bet you do. So the last question.
I like an amethyst colored wine glass marker myself.
This person.
I got a roll of the eye.
Is actually out of London. It's kind of cool.
Ontario?
No.
England. Ohio? London, England. Ohio?
England.
England.
Yes.
Oh, from London, mate.
Well, now, that's Australian, you dumb fuck.
Duck fuck?
For that, too. Dumb fuck. It's Annabelle.
What?
Annabelle.
I don't think that's how you say it in London. Annabelle?
I don't know. I'm not in London. You just what was said
that?
Mate.
What was that?
What?
Just say the fucking question.
I forgot it.
Jesus, son. It's written on the email that you're reading. Just read it.
I know.
It's not like you're making them up.
I know. No, no. So the question Annabelle wants to know, it's kind of a general question. I like some of these things. She just kind of leaves it open because apparently she thinks we're crazy. But
what?
Yes. Her question is, what things in the past that you thought were terrible, now you enjoy?
Well.
And Scott's past, though, so, I mean, Scott, you got to live to that. I mean, let's just condense it.
Yeah, so for Rob.
Because Scott would be like, well, I didn't like pickled herrings in 1935, but, you know.
For Rob, now, first thing on his list would be the Little Blue Pill.
I don't need.
He thought it was funny. Now he thinks it's great.
I have no need for that.
Analgesic balms. Again,
did
on Rob's list.
Did you say analgesic balms?
Analgesic balms. Like,
don't know what that is. You're a pervert, basically.
No, that's like Aspirin cream, dude.
I don't need that.
Ben Gay.
Who's gay? Ben's not gay. Oh, he's
Jesus.
He's got a wife. He's got a kid.
Oh, my Lord.
I think Scott's missing the point. I've got actually a better version.
So what things... Annabelle, you ask.
Well, it's strange that Annabelle asked this question because I kind of had this kind of flash through my mind, maybe not in the words that she had it, but I remember back in the day.
Oh, my Lord.
There's a band, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of them, Great White. You know Great White, Scott? They're the ones that had those pyrotechnics in their show in some club, and it caught the club on fire, and it burnt the club down, and it killed, like, what, 40 people?
40 people.
Yeah, it was not good. But I recall...
So you hated it, and now you love it?
Well, it had nothing to do with them burning the club down. I thought their music sucked. Partly because all I heard was Once Bitten, Twice Shy. But
isn't there a real estate reference in here somewhere?
No. So I was driving back from wherever I was, and it was like some vintage radio station, and they played this song called Rock Me. And I'm playing it right now. And it has wonderful dynamics. It has great bluesy hard rock riffs. It's a little cheesy, which is cool.
Apparently, you don't understand the word wonderful or dynamics.
I know what dynamics are. You don't know anything like that because you don't play any instruments. But it's cheesy in all the good ways, but it's still kind of cool. You're
like clarinet.
You're so much of a gooch.
I play clarinet. Piccolo. Clarinet, piccolo. Rock me! Rock me!
Oh my God. You might as well. Anyway, this song kind of made me think, not those terms, but I'm thinking, I hated it.
This song made you think.
No, no. Vaguely. No one, nothing from Great White has ever made you think.
I'm hoping you're going to somewhere get around to Annabelle's question.
But this is an example of something that originally when it came out, I'm thinking, I didn't give it a chance, but then when I heard it in different light, when I'm older, I went, that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? You don't, because you play the clarinet. No, it's,
well, yeah, I play the clarinet.
You sit there in your bathroom. I mean, that's the lamest fucking instrument there ever was.
I don't play clarinet. No, the flute is the lamest.
Skin flute?
No, the flute. As opposed to the piccolo.
Becky plays the flute. Well, she has a flute. Yeah.
Some things you should keep to yourself.
I have several guitars. You know, I play that. You know, I played the saxophone briefly when I was a kid. My nephew, though, plays the saxophone quite a bit. He actually restores saxophones, buys them on eBay.
That's interesting.
Restores them and sells them for an obscene amount of money.
That's interesting. The instrument business is a good instrument. It's a good business to be in. Speaking of things I didn't enjoy when I was younger and I enjoy now, seeing Rob cough up a lung is one of them.
Well, Santa Emma down the windpipe is... Oh, I'm sorry. I just poured all of it in my glass.
Damn you.
Santa Emma in the windpipe is not a pleasurable experience. So I hope we educated you a little bit.
Annabella.
And Scott, the fact
how
that he...
How disappointing.
That he plays the clarinet. I hope that you enjoyed that.
Oh, and the saints, by the way, go marching in.
Scott, there's no hardcore way you can play the clarinet because the clarinet sucks.
It was a joke, son.
You were serious.
So, used to. I played it. The clarinet.
It's the lamest fucking instrument ever.
Eh.
That's horrible, man.
Actually, it's quite classical.
Oboe's classical. The clarinet is not.
No, oboe's not classical. You got to play that freaking mouthpiece.
It's a double reed, yes.
The double reed. Clarinet is a single reed.
Yes. And it sucks. So we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So
come back to Amy Winehouse's "You Know I'm No Good."
That's true.
A song inspired by the wine guy.
That's very true.
Off air, we were talking about who would cover white
snakes. Great white snakes. There's snakes in there.
Rock Me. And
but no, any song. Who would cover "Kickstart My Heart" by Motley Crue?
Well, a lot of bands would.
Who?
But no Mainline one would bands. Cover "Rock
Wait,
Me."
You two?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know who you have to be to like you two. It's not me.
Which is great.
They suck.
Well, they suck now. Their early stuff was great.
They always kind of suck. No. They wanted to be Radiohead, and they never were, even though they were older than Radiohead. Radiohead's elite. Radiohead would play Rock Me. Probably.
No one knows who Radiohead is, but you and I.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Does Steve Gibson know who Radiohead is?
Yes, he does.
No.
Why would we worry about what Steve Gibson knows?
He's the everyman.
I mean,
Greg the everyman
get a shoebox. We'll fill that really quickly.
Would Rob the cop know who they are? Certainly Hank, the South African, Australian, Russian, wouldn't know who Radiohead is.
Don't bet on that, because Hank is international.
Yes.
He might.
He didn't know Dave Matthews was from South Africa.
I didn't know Dave Matthews was from South Africa. How long was he in South Africa?
He's South African.
What, for 15 minutes?
He's born in South Africa.
Yes, but when did he move away?
does it matter?
Well, that's a question.
When did Hank move away? I don't know.
Well, probably later than Dave Matthews moved away.
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
I mean, if he was born over the airspace, that's a little bit less than he is from South Africa.
Oh, Jesus. You're such a skeptic.
I'm just being real, you dumbass.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, so the 2015 Santa Emma Cabernet.
Registered trademark. Don't you dare try to steal that name.
I was actually gonna name a podcast Santa Emma, but now I won't.
Fuck. I'm just saying. It'd have been a good podcast, unlike this one.
That's why you're on it. So we're gonna start off with El Scoot. What is your numerical score?
Love this wine. Recommend it highly. It doesn't have any ageability. That's the only thing that holds it back from me giving it a number that starts with a 9, but it's incredibly drinkable. I'm going to go 89. I got to roll the eyes there, but I recommend it for the value-priced Hall of Fame. One of my favorite things from South America. Love it. 89. I got the roll of the eyes. Somebody wants it to be a higher score.
It's a dumb score. So that's why I'm giving it a 91. So it has an aggregate score of a 90, so it makes it into the Hall of Fame.
I don't have a problem with that.
If you don't have a problem with it, bump your score up to 90 like a man would. This is delicious. And the fact that that tobacco quotient is just amazing. The Value Price Hall of Fame is getting filled up too. But
that's probably the difference.
Too good for the Value Price Hall of Fame.
It's really good wine.
It's too good, and it has complexity. It has unique flavors. The nose itself, with the eucalyptus and the mint, is interesting and unique.
True that.
It has its own character and quality, and it's wonderful. It deserves everything that I just gave it. I might even give it a 92. No.
No.
No, because that's where... The only
reason you gave it 91 is because I gave it 89.
No, I would give it 91.
Okay.
But I can't give it a 92 because of the ageability issue.
That's the only reason I give it an 89. It just, it's...
And because you're dumb.
And the registered trademark, that pisses me off.
Okay, Triple B.
Sorry.
Who's slightly psychotic.
I love her.
She's yeah, right. But she's, psychosis she's mentally is a good thing. Ill.
So am I. So are you.
No, I'm not. I'm the sanest fucking person you've ever met.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're a fucking nut job.
Well, Scott, I didn't say it says much for your life. I'm just saying I am the sanest person you've ever fucking met.
Not true.
True. Sit back, relax. Listen to the Allman Brothers' Outskirts of Town.
Woo, son.
Dickie Betts is laying it down.
I don't know. Is this better than Neon 2?
Well, from a technical exercise, yes, it is. Because it has more layers and it's more complex. I've had the Antu more than you have.
Okay.
The Antu is a little more brighter fruit and driven that in that fashion. Where this has a little bit more compact linearness in the fact that it isn't flabby. But what this has, though, is excellent fruit in the front palate that leads into that tobacco, which is amazing. Now, Antu does have a whiff of that, but it isn't as pronounced as this wine.
My favorite part about this wine is just that subtle, soft, lingering finish.
Well, this wine is better than Antu.
Okay.
And I like Antu.
I haven't had it in so long. I know this is one of the best South American wines we've had on the show. And for $13, folks, wine.com, buy it.
You just gave it a 90.
Buy it.
You wanted to give it a 90, and I just gave it a 90 from you.
He's score shaming, folks. I gave it an 89.
Yeah, you gave it a 90.
God damn it. I don't have a problem putting it in Hall of Fame. I have always said we can put anything in the Hall of Fame that we want for whatever score we want. But I'm sticking by my 89.
No, you gave it a 90. It says 90 right there. That must be fact. And you know what? In 2 weeks, you're going to remember what you gave it?
No. Hell no.
You're going to say, yeah, I gave it a 90.
Except the episode's recorded that I gave it an 89.
Not
89, 89, 89, 89, 89, 89, 89. going to write a song called 89.
As long as it's not 69. Because that would be wrong and...
That would be a low score.
19 crimes.
You know, there's a lot of things that I think about when I think about how bad 19 crimes was.
Uh-huh.
69 isn't one of them.
No, it isn't, isn't it? It actually is the furthest thing from any kind of sexual activity that you would ever get.
Jesus.
You just don't feel hot and bothered when you're drinking 19 crimes. You're thinking, I just want to die. How bad is death? I'll take it. You know, it's like, you know, you just, it just also makes you feel trashy.
Now, so, you know what makes you feel trashy?
What?
The Federalist.
What?
The Federalist.
The Federalist is just bad. It's not trashy bad.
It makes me feel trashy. I just, and when I look at it, it makes me feel trashy.
Which Federalist, though, are you talking about?
19 Crimes makes me want to vomit. It makes me physically ill.
The Federalist, we realized after a while that it was a fake fucking bullshit. Because we yeah. pretended to like the Lodi Zen. In reality, it probably wasn't very good. I don't know. I'm not going to try it again to find out if we were. But the cab sucked. But that Dry Creek Zen that costs regularly $37.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Was ball sweat.
40. Sometimes you see it priced at 40. $39.99.
No. Fuck no. Terrible wine.
I saw it in a restaurant. $45.
It was $45?
Restaurant.
That's what it costs retail. Screw that, man. But the Santa Emma Hall of Fame, not value price, Hall of Fame.
I don't have a problem with it.
And you know what? Tip of the fucking cap. Delicious. If you want a cab that's different, you don't want California tonight. You don't want something that you're going to have to think about being Californian that's going to have charred oak. You want something that's going to be a little more interesting, that's going to... Gonna remind you of some other nuances that just have been out of play for a while. Santa Emma is the call.
Let me take you somewhere else on this, and we haven't talked about this. You know what this red wine would be good for?
What's that?
It's the summer. You're out on your deck. You don't want white wine. You just want something easy to drink. Santa Emma.
Yeah, but I give it
this more. Is a nice.
But Scott, I give it more credit than that.
I give it more credit than
I
that.
I think it's worth more than that.
I agree it's worth more than that. But this is a nice, drinkable red wine.
True.
That would be appropriate for warm weather drinking. This would be a nice vacation wine. If I had a case of this to take with Jesus. Me for 2 weeks on vacation.
You'd never be disappointed, would you?
Fuck no, I wouldn't be disappointed.
That's a good point.
This would be a great vacation wine.
A case of this.
A case of this.
That's a good way to end this. A case of this, folks. That's what you want. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.